today I have the pleasure of sitting with my friend Cheryl Bastian, and I got to come to her home where my children and I come every year for the past, what did we say, 7 years,
yes,
for our evaluations. Mm. And Cheryl's family is really just known throughout our community for their years of experience in homeschooling, her and her husband. Her husband is an educator. Cheryl and her husband have 23 years behind their belt on homeschooling, and so she is a wealth of information. And I thought she would be the perfect person to help us kick off the Learning Lifestyle Revival membership. We here believe in a lifestyle of learning, and that can mean so many things, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
To every family. And obviously, you know us from the Giles Frontier and how we live, but Cheryl actually has some girls in the mix.
Yes.
That we
Six
don't.
Six of them.
Yes. So I thought we would pick her brain today and ask what the learning lifestyle looks like in her home as she's gone through all these years, how it changes and evolves with her kids. And so we're just going to get right to it because I love talking with Cheryl.
Thank you.
So actually introduce yourself for those who haven't met you and how many children you have and where you're at in your homeschool.
Well, thank you. You've been very gracious. You've already said half of it. We do have 8 children. We've been homeschooling 23 years. We did not come to a learning lifestyle overnight. It's something that's kind of grown on us. We have 3 graduates and then whatever the extra is from there. 5, I guess, still at home. There's math there, I'm sure.
The extra.
There you go. Learning lifestyle math. Yes, we still have 5 at home, and they're all girls. So we're in a different season of what that looks like, and their interests are definitely very different than our boys who used to dig holes in our yard and build gardens and forts and stuff. So.
Okay. Well, my first question is, what does learning lifestyle look like in your home, and how do you think now that you've come into that, how does that benefit your family?
Wow. Okay. So it's looked different for us in different seasons of our lives. Obviously, there have been years when we've had newborns, lots of years that we've had newborns, and it changed in those seasons. There's been seasons when we've needed structured curriculum for some kids. And so the learning lifestyle, as far as a percentage, wasn't always 100%. Sometimes it was 50, sometimes 30. It really depended on the student, as well as our life circumstances. But in general, we intentionally built the life for learning mentality. In other words, everything we do, and we try to encourage our kids with this, school is not time that we set aside every day. Although, yes, when they're doing math, I'm sure it's very evident to them they're doing school. But we want them to embrace life with a life is learning mentality. And what that means is every single thing you do teaches you something, either cognitively or relationally or emotionally, socially, spiritually, like everything you do. So, and how does that benefit our family? Like, when over the years we've noticed that as we've gotten adult children, the things that they've used that have come from our home have been based on a lot of soft skills that traditional curriculum wouldn't have built. It was only because we had the life learning experiences that we built the soft skills of collaboration and problem solving and questioning and modeling and the art of conversation and the things actually that employers are looking for. Those are the things that have kind of taken root in our family that we didn't know at the time. But we're seeing now with our adult children and how they're using what they learned at home and how it's impacting them, whether they be in grad school, because we have one who's a doctor in physical therapy, working really hard at that. And we have another working full-time and also doing a CFO position with a nonprofit. So we're seeing the life skills that these kids have been afforded because of the lifestyle of learning.
What's interesting to me is what you just said about what employers are looking for. And I think that's interesting to me is that we don't think about that when we're having our kids do language arts and, you know, geography and all those things are skills we're told are important to learn. Yes, they are.
Yes.
But are they building what they're going to need on into their future?
Mm.
So that was just had to pull that out.
We can talk about that another time, Holly.
Yes. So with your little ones, what are some things that you do with them as far as the learning lifestyle that you have at home right now.
Well, again, because we have different interests in all of our kids. All of our kids are unique, just as much as your listeners have kids that are very unique. So these are only examples, and really the sky is the limit. I usually tell people there's no ceiling on learning when you use the lifestyle of learning. In other words, if you find a grasshopper outside.
Which, by the way, there's a grasshopper in a,
you see that?
In a cricket box outside your front door.
Yes, and other lover grasshoppers have come to visit that grasshopper. So that's porch science. That's what I call porch science. But that lover grasshopper, let's say we found one dead one time. So there were some kids that were just enthralled and marveled over just the body and the antennas, just the basic parts. There were others who wanted to get the magiscope out and look at the actual parts closer, and the eyes and like the little things on their legs. And then there were some who wanted to Google that and find out where they lived and wanted to find out what they eat and how pesty they are actually on your plants.
Yes.
And then there were some that wanted to dissect it. So really, if you look at, here we are all as a family together, learning at different stages and from one another, and those collaboration skills and those language skills and those listening skills and the questioning skills, again, those are the things that employers are going to look for someday, and they're naturally built in, and we learned it together as a family, which again, like I said, builds relationship, which is another thing that we feel like that learning lifestyle has built in our family. My 27-year-old adores my 2-year-old and is very intentional still about building a relationship with her, even though he doesn't live here. But it's because they all just kind of grew up together. Like we were this family unit, and learning was something that came out of that.
That's awesome. Which is what we say too. It's really about relationships for us. That's what we have learned over the years.
Right, and the academics fall into place.
It does.
Grasshopper, you know, that's just one. I mean, we've done bird studies together, built herb gardens together. My boys were on a hole digging stint for a while where they built they dug a 6-foot hole in the backyard, and they saw all the soil layers, and they had added the water to get the erosion things. I mean, it was just, and I didn't plan any of it. It just kind of happened. I did foster it and encourage it, and instead of, you know, say, no, you can't dig any more holes in the backyard. Actually, I did say that. I said, you just have to dig over here.
I think I've had to put a kibosh on the hole digging.
Give them a spot to dig. That's what we did.
Well, as you know, the Giles Frontier, our family, we promote nature and the outdoors. Mm-hmm. And how does that fit in with your family, with your experience?
Well, I will say this. My second oldest was, he actually needed to go outside every day. By noon every day, he'd get headaches. And so therefore, if I didn't get him outside, there was a headache and there was a meltdown. So I learned really quickly, even though I didn't want to go outside in the heat, he had to. It was part of our, you know, what we had to do, which is how the whole digging thing started. So from that, it was a need. He had a need to get outside. And from that, we learned, he learned about ant lions. And that's actually when we learned about the grasshoppers. And it all came out of that because he had a physical need. The other ones, there was my daughter actually wanted to build the herb garden. It was her personal desire to eat healthy, to find out how, you know, gardening and nutrition all work together. And that was actually later in her high school years and literally transformed our whole backyard. Which was amazing. It was not something, again, that we planned. It just happened.
That was my next question. So, in your opinion, it's better, in some cases, to kind of just go with what their interests are instead of saying, okay, this year we are going to do this, this, and this outside and try to make it, not that that's a bad thing, but do you think that there comes more value sometimes when the child has a vested interest in what they're doing?
Most definitely, but that's true of anything, because intrinsic motivation increases retention in any subject. And so, yes, there are times when we said, like I can tell you right now, when we had to be outside every day, there was one of my children who didn't want to be outside. But you can't be inside by yourself, you know, for long periods of time if mom is outside. So, you know, yes, my children sometimes have to do things that they're not necessarily comfortable with, but they actually went outside and enjoyed and learned that they loved it. So sometimes we need to, it's part of that growing process. And the other times we just kind of, yes, the intrinsic thing was in everything that we learned. And that motivation actually fueled the learning to a capacity that I could have never done, because they just had this need to know, whether that was about animals, which all little kids, like, that's just an intrinsic, if you don't know where to start with your little kids, just start with animals, because they love them. They move, they're outside, they're in their world. That's a wonder that they have. So it, birds, insects, whatever those animals are, which that tends to change, but animals is a really good start, and plants. They all like to watch things grow.
That's a great idea. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. Just letting
developmentally,
people know that.
That's if you just say, oh, I have no idea where to start my child, especially in the younger years, almost 9 to 10 times out of 10, you can start with the animals and they will be absolutely thrilled. And then you can, you know, you can have pets, fish, hermit crabs. They'll create their own. You'll have salamanders. We've had tadpoles that they collected in the puddles. Grasshoppers. We have those on our front porch.
Yes, right now.
Get a bird. And then in that, you're teaching responsibility. They're going to want to learn what they eat. Or go to the park if you don't want to have a pet. I get that. Like, I am not a pet person. Go to the park. Go to the pond and do a picnic so you can watch the animals. Go to the zoo. Like, there are different ways that you can incorporate animals in education.
For us, you know, reading aloud seems to have become really a real big part of our learning at home. And I think it does for a lot of families who choose sort of this way of lifestyle and learning. So how does that fit with your family? I already know you're a great proponent of reading
yes,
aloud.
Absolutely.
So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me just kind of give you this example, and hopefully this will... the story will, in a sense, answer some questions you might have. Reading aloud, like a biography or a picture book, which tends to be, okay, biography, obviously, some of the older kids, picture book, really little kids, although actually there's some really good biographies for little kids, but whether it's a biography or a picture book, there's learning in that. So when you're reading aloud, everyone's learning together. You're reviewing vocabulary. You're stopping to talk about maybe the sentence structure. They're being exposed to different sentence structures dependent on the voice and writing style of the author. You can get pulled into the developing plot and impacted by the characters' choices, by their own development in the story, by how, if it's a biography, how those real people solved real problems. That's important for kids to see, not just some story that's been, fictional story that's been put together, but how did Louis Braille come to, talk about intrinsic motivation, how did he come to the point where he wanted to learn how to solve the rabies problem? Or how did the Wright brothers come to a point where they wanted to build a plane? Those are real people with real problems, and kids are interested in that. So we had language arts in that, we had history in that, we had vocabulary in that, we even had science and history, depending on the biography we were reading. We got to have that as well, all wrapped up into one. And so simply on my log, I would write, if it was, you know, the story of Louis Braille, I'd log that title and that author in there, and I would list, read aloud, and I'd list vocabulary and whatever else came out of the discussion, because they're always, we had some tangent of discussions. It was just a good time for us to learn from each other without feeling threatened, because there's this low stress, you know. And so your younger ones who have a lot of questions get those answered, and maybe questions the younger kids are asking that the older kids don't want to, like, kind of own up to the fact that they forgot.
Right.
You're getting that, and not everybody is kind of stressed out or like, oh, I'm so dumb, I don't remember that. Because nobody really knows that. You're all just kind of having a discussion.
Right. Okay, I have two things I'm going to add to that and ask you to add.
Okay.
Number one is my 11-year-old. Mm-hmm. I have noticed, which... We read aloud a lot. He still loves picture books, mm-hmm. which we still do picture books. Mm-hmm. So we do chapter books as a family. Is his vocabulary and speaking is incredible.
Yeah.
And I hear him talking, mm-hmm. and you know that he's getting mm-hmm. that from just, you know, the mm-hmm. sheer enjoyment of listening mm-hmm. to the books. Mm-hmm. But then when he is communicating with people, it is coming out in this mm-hmm. rich vocabulary yeah. that I don't believe right. he would have gotten otherwise, which to
absolutely.
Me is the
absolutely.
Most incredible thing about reading aloud. Number two is, what are your thoughts on, we love to read books on famous people when they were children.
Yes.
To us, it seems to really heighten the children's interest in...
Absolutely.
And what they possibly
absolutely.
Can do. What are your thoughts on those types of books of famous people as their children, those biography type books?
I'm a proponent. Because I am a proponent of anything that works. So Yes, and children are motivated by other children. So we were reading Childhood of Famous Americans.
Yes.
Is one of the mm-hmm. series that we love. And so my kids had checked out one from the library about Walt Disney. And what was interesting to find out is Walt Disney had access to a farm. I can't remember if he actually lived on a farm or his aunts had a farm or something, but he would dress up pigs in clothes.
So, are you serious?
He would dress up the animals. Yeah, pigs were one of them.
I have not read that one. We need to.
Childhood of Famous Americans, Walt Disney. And so my kids made the connection. Oh, Mom, he's still dressing up animals. He is, absolutely. And so they start seeing threads like, what do I have? What qualities and strengths do I have as a child that might get to be used later in life? So Childhood of Famous Americans is one of our series that we love. And the other series, well, two others really, the Step Up books, the Meet George Washington, Meet Abraham Lincoln. We like that series because the font is still large. It's a hardback book. If you can, I would say get the hardbacks. You can get them in softcover, but I get the hardback because kids feel, oh, wow, this is really a chunky book that I get to read. It's in chapters, which are in doable small sections, so they feel successful. And it's not that long of a book. And there's still some pictures for those kids who feel like they still want those pictures as a safeguard. And then the next series we use are the Discovery Biographies by the Girard Publishing Company. Again, large font, still some pictures, usually 2 to 3 color pictures. They're not like full color pictures because these books were written in the 1960s. But they're gems. And a lot of times the content in them spurs your kids on, or at least it has in ours, to go find other books about these people. So though the books in themselves might be hard to find, we get them on eBay sometimes, or Better World Books, or Libris, or something like that, Amazon. Once you start collecting them, and if it feels, you're going to find, I had a child, started on a couple Girard Discovery Series books, and wanted the whole lot.
She's wow. Like,
I just okay. have to have more. Okay, so I didn't have to buy a history curriculum that year. It was just those, you know, those old books that she loved and ate up every single one and remembers everything. So when she now goes with me when I go speak or she's in my booth, parents will ask her, have you read this one? What do you think? And she's getting to tell them, this is the plot. So it's reading comprehension. But yes, those are great books. And they spur, what I found is those spur kids on to see and figure out what real life problems they could maybe solve.
Okay, great. Those are great recommendations. We'll put those in our show notes. Now, Cheryl loves math and she has written Math Adventures, and we've sort of become a series now. Mm-hmm. The things that you've written.
It's working that way.
Yes, and we've asked her, she wrote Math Adventures for us mm-hmm. to go along with Blaze New Trails, which people love, by mm-hmm. the way. It's a great way to see how you can use math in the mm-hmm. everyday. And so what are the benefits of incorporating math with mm-hmm. outdoor activities that we have had you do with us before? Can you share some thoughts on that?
I didn't always love math, nor did my children. So I will say that. But I noticed, remember I said we had to be outdoors a lot. And so I thought, okay, like if we didn't get our math done, how are we going to do our math? So I would find ways that weren't really hokey to try to get the math in. That might have been counting rocks, for one, or counting shells that we had collected at the beach, making sets of shells, looking at the symmetry in the shell. Measuring a tree circumference with a measuring tape. By the way, if you don't have a measuring, it's a measuring tape measure. They're two different things. One is metal and not real flexible, and the other is flexible. You could actually measure the circumference of a tree. So when you're outside, outdoors, which is, that's what kids love, they want to be outdoors, they'll learn a whole lot of things just because they love being outdoors and there's so much for them to discover. So I tried to take the learning outside, especially for those really active littles. And here's the other thing. It puts math in context with the things they love. So you can watch birds land on a wire. Okay, I have five birds. We were watching five birds. Uh-oh, three flew away. How many are left? You have just now done the subtraction concept outside where the kids love, and they won't forget it. They will understand when they get to see the written on paper what that means. If they see a 5 minus 3, they're going to say, oh, I remember when the birds were on the wire and they left. So the other thing it does is it exposes children to be exposed to math vocabulary that they're going to use later. So a right angle. So if you say to them, a right angle is an angle that comes together kind of like on a corner of a square, and then you do a little shape hunt outside and you're pointing out right angles. Later you can add, okay, that right angle is 90 degrees, and you can get into that. All of a sudden, when they see a doorway or they see a window pane, they're automatically going to say right angle. Like, you want them to be able to see math in their everyday world, whether that be a pattern in a butterfly wings, or a pattern in a feather, or a pattern in a shell. And another thing too is, if you're at the beach where you've got mud, boys love mud and sticks, so that's a great way to be able to start writing numbers and even drawing parallel lines in the sand or in the mud. You're still allowing them to have exposure to the math and the vocabulary that then is going to stick with them, and they'll say, okay, I will never forget what parallel lines were because I just drew them in the sand and I found them in the window pane, and we saw them in the American flag because there were these stripes that ran, you know, either vertical and horizontal, and those are other words you can learn. It's just engaging in math in context in their world. So it works. We've done it, like I said, with all of my children. I never understood math as a kid. I actually had some learning challenges. I think had math been taught and introduced to me that way, it would have made sense to me. I actually didn't learn math until I went to college and learned how to teach it to youngest. Wow. I tell that to all of you. It never made sense to me until I got to college.
But you know, I think that could be true for a lot of people.
I think it is.
I think if you don't grasp those concepts when you're young.
Right.
Like you're saying, out in the world, that it's hard to look at it on paper.
Right. And it's not
understand.
Just outdoors. It's indoors, too.
Right.
I mean, we did an evaluation this morning, which was so fun. The little girl was six, and, you know, she said, the mom actually said to me, you know, my husband said, she's not getting this math. It was all on paper. My thing is get learning off the page for these young kids. Get their hands on it. And she says, it's interesting, when she does your math, she understands it. When she has to do it on paper, she doesn't understand it. I said, well, because she's still at that that concrete, tactual context state where they are still learning in vocabulary and they're still moving, you know. We were talking about dimes, and I told her, you know, you can make sets of 10, and then you've got dimes, 10, 20, 30. Like, there's, you got 10, 20, 30, you got dime, you got coin recognition, you can make sets of 10. Like, 10 is a really important number for kids to know. That allows them to understand 10 sums later, like 6 and 4 is 10, and 3 and 7, and those kinds of things. So there's so much you can do with math. We could have a whole podcast on that.
Which we might have to do later on. Well, as we kind of bring this session to a close, it's the beginning of our year for us. And what are you looking forward to learning with your children this coming year? Do you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, if you would have asked me 15 years ago, I would have said, I'm looking forward to learning American history, and I'm looking forward to... And yes, we're still learning specific subjects, but you know, now I just look forward to learning with my kids whatever that is. And because I know with these intrinsic interests that they have and their new seasons of life, I've got one going to college, I've got a junior who has her sights set on dual enrollment. I just want to help those two learners to foster whatever skills it is they need so that they can be successful at those goals and dreams that they have. So walking alongside of them in that learning, whether that's learning better mechanics in their writing, or whether that's practicing algebra skills so they could take the entrance exam, or if it's learning study skills while they're in college so they can be a better student or a better note taker. And then I've got an emergent reader who I just cannot wait. Like, she's learning how to read. I'm going to get those light bulb moments like, I got it, Mom, or I read my first chapter book. And so I can't wait for those, whatever that looks like. And then I have a toddler and a preschooler, which, of course, the whole world is wondrous to them. So I'm not quite sure what we're going to learn, but I know we're going to learn a lot. I mean, I shouldn't say I'm not sure. Like, there are subjects. I don't want to sound really
right.
Loosey,
you have a
goosey,
plan, but there's always room for...
But I think beyond that, like, I used to see the specifics, and now I see whole people. And I'm just excited to learn with my children, alongside of my children, and from my children, because I'm still learning my adult children. I just texted my son today, and I said, I need to know, what is this? This terminology in business, because he's in business. And so he fed me with information. So I just look forward to being with my kids, because that's really the heart of, you know, we're a home. We learn here, and I guess technically people could call that a school. But we're not a school.
Yes.
We are a home that we learn together in.
Okay, I'm going to repeat something that Cheryl just said, which I think is wonderful. She said, I used to see specifics, but now I see whole people. Mm. Which, that right there is kind of the key to all of this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is in our minds, we think we have to have this schedule and all of these things, and as we go along, we're actually learning as they're learning, but we're learning in a different way, how to work with them, how to see who they are and work from there. So if you don't get anything out of our conversation, I'm going to say it again. You said, I used to see specifics, but now I see whole people. Right. So we encourage you to take that with you this week as you're with your family, with your kids, and whatever you get into in your home learning. I'm excited to let everyone know that Cheryl is going to be a contributor with us here at the Learning Lifestyle Revival.
I'm absolutely excited about that.
She has so much wisdom that I have learned over the years that I am happy that she's going to be sharing with you. So she'll be back on with us from time to time, and we're going to pluck her brain about high school stuff because she's awesome at that, and with the littles, everything in between. So thank you so much, Cheryl,
for so welcome. So
having me over today.
Sure. Yes. And the dog didn't bark.
And baby still asleep. And it's a good day.
Oh, thanks, Holly.
Thank you.